All right. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And what you're listening to is Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. It's a band that was put together by Mike, who is a bassist. And he has put out this CD. It came out, what did it come out, last year?
End of 2014.
The end of 2014. Yep. So a little bit over a year. And you put that together with a bunch of incredible musicians. And you've got some incredible musicians and people in here with us. There's approximately 43 people in the studio right now. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
All right. That's the that's Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. Well, let's start with Mike. Mike, you're a young dude, man. You're 24?
24, yep.
Good Lord, man. I've been alive twice as long as you have, which
oh,
is
man.
Kind of a yeah. more than twice as long as you have, which is kind of a terrifying thing. But I got to ask you, how did you really quickly? How did you start in music, and particularly this kind of music? Because I just want to say that you know, there's a lot of very young people in the room here with me right now, and when I hear that there are people like in their 20s, I'm assuming most of you guys are in your 20s. Yeah. Okay. When I hear people in their 20s wanting to play this kind of music, it makes me real happy. Because my favorite time period and my favorite kind of music ever is 70s R&B. There's nothing better than that on the planet as far as I'm concerned. And so when I, you know, it just makes me happy when I see 20-year-olds digging this kind of music. So yeah. How did that happen for you?
You know, at first I just, I was into pop music like every other kid, you know, but then I saw kind of like the artistry and the creative side and what was happening and, you know, old soul music and jazz music and funk music.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a certain sound and expression that isn't really expressed all the time in pop music.
Yeah.
So when I was like 15 years old, first I was playing guitar, but I haven't played guitar for very long, so I got another guitar player beat me out of the audition spot, right? But he's like, "Well, Mike, if you want to play two strings less, you know, you can play the bass."
Real selling point for the bass. Yeah. Yeah, it's got two less strings. Go ahead and play that.
So I'm like, "All right, we'll give it a try." But then all the musicians in the jazz band, they all played rock music, right? So they're like, you know, it's like, "Mike, if you want to play with us, you want to hang out with us, you got to get an electric bass." So. You know, I got an electric bass and got into rock music, and from there, blues and soul music. And
yeah. You play the stand-up bass, too?
A little bit. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, not so much. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we've got a break here in a couple seconds.
Yeah.
But before we do, I want to get around the room really quickly. Just give your name and what you do in the band.
Unique. I am the lead vocalist.
Okay.
I am Marissa. I am the background vocalist.
Okay.
I'm Connor. I'm the trumpet player.
Yep.
Ron Jacoby, I play the trombone.
Yep.
I'm Jim Schramm, I play tenor saxophone.
Cool.
I'm Hayden Ashley, I play keyboards.
Ooh, Hayden, all sexy. Damn, Hayden.
And I'm Nathan Mark, I play the drums.
All right. Ooh, Hayden, just gave me a little chill. And I'm straight, dude, so nice job. All right, well, we got a break here. We'll come back and we'll talk more with the guys here. Mike Zabrin's Funktastic, and we'll hear some live music. We always love to have musicians in, and we'll talk that stuff and listen to some music. But we got a break. News coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Take me to the other side. I wanna find a mind.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That is Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. They're live in studio, and that's from a CD that came out at the end of 2014. And I have everybody who's ever played an instrument in the world in the studio with me this morning. Hi, guys. Welcome back. Literally, just before we go across and like talk to everybody in the room and then hear some live music, we do a thing, Mike. I think you might be interested in this. We do a thing every Friday morning on the show called Fly Jams Friday. And what we do is we talk about and we play a bunch of great fly jams. So it's basically R&B, funk, stuff that that we all love. And people call in and they request songs and we play like bits of it and talk about the artists and stuff like that. And it started out as a thing. It started out as a thing where it was mostly like the stuff from the late 80s and early 90s. Like the New Jack stuff from that era, you know, your Bell Biv DeVoe's and all that stuff. And then we expanded it to include the stuff. So basically anything that's R&B related, we play it. This stuff would fit in fantastically on Fly Jams Friday, wouldn't it? And Dan, my producer, Dan Shagrew, becomes DJ Shagrew on Fridays. Don't you think, Dan, that this would...
Absolutely
great addition to Fly Jams Friday. So, yeah. All right, well, listen, Mike, we talked a little bit about, you know, you getting started. There was two left strings on the bass, so you went for it.
Long story short.
Long story short. When did you start playing? When did you start playing an instrument?
When I was, 13 years old.
13?
Nobody in my family played music. Just something I kind of picked up, and I wanted to just emulate.
And it was a guitar that you went to first?
Yeah, electric guitar, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Let's go around the room and talk to everybody. This is Unique, and she is the lead vocalist. You've been singing your whole life, Unique?
Yes.
How did that start for you? Was it just something that came naturally?
It kind of came naturally. My parents sang in the choir, and my mom was a keyboardist in the church choir. So, of course, at the age of 2, they made me a tiny little choir robe, and I was the youngest singer.
No kidding, at 2?
At 2. There was a little tiny little choir robe.
Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay, west side of Chicago. What church did you start singing at?
It was Presentation Church, mm-hmm. Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, even at 2, do you have memories of...
I do. I actually have memories of going under my mom's piano and playing with pulling the hammer. So she would be playing and she'd be like, "What is going on with my playing today?" Oh, and I'd be just down there pulling the little hammers down. So, yeah, that's my earliest musical memory. But I didn't start singing lead until I was around 12.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the old age of 12. Unbelievable. Well, that's cool. So you've had music in your family your whole life.
Pretty much.
Was it gospel stuff that you really started with?
Yes, both of my parents are music ministers, so I was only allowed to listen to Christian music. Yes.
Well, we're going to have to talk about how that must have expanded
that
for you.
Sucked.
All right, well, let's talk to Marissa. Hi, Marissa.
Hello.
How did you start singing?
I come from a gospel background as well. My grandfather is a pastor, when you have a conversation with him, you feel like you're getting a sermon talked to you. Like, that's how he talks now. He's like, well, I tell you what. Like, that's how he talks. literally, that's how he talks. So then he sings, and when we have family dinners, everybody get together and we pray and we sing a hymn over the food and the food's cold. But I was blessed to actually be able to listen to other music.
Oh, okay. All right.
But my parents, they met from singing in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my father had to sing. He was a PK.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was the baby, so she had a little tune in a voice, so she had to sing. And they sang whatever it is together. And that, I guess, sparked a flame.
And that was it.
And then I was born.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. So,
all right, cool.
I've had music in my family. I grew up on Earth, Wind, and Fire, Stevie Wonder, literally everything. Like, I was 5, and I was singing Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
everything. Like, people look at me like, why does that little girl know that?
Yeah.
And
it's
then
funny.
Was...
We were just talking, when the guys were setting up, we were talking about the Grammys the other night, mm-hmm. and how... I thought they did not do nearly enough for Maurice White.
No.
And it was beautiful. What Stevie did was great, and it was a wonderful a cappella version of That's the Way the World, but man, no. They should have done an hour,
I called my dad, and I was like, they did more for Lionel Richie. He's alive.
I know, man.
What's wrong with him?
I know.
Like, this is a travesty.
It was awful.
But, yeah, I grew up with music, and I was blessed at the age of about 9. My auntie died, and she was my godmother. And a woman in my church was like, I just feel moved to be your godmother. And she ended up, she's a world-renowned singer. She's invited to many of churches, and she trained me.
Oh, wow.
As a child. So I've been getting training, thank God, for a very long time.
Yeah.
So,
okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's see. Then, Connor, what about you, man? How did you start?
How did I start? I come from a pretty musical family. My dad was a saxophone player. And I grew up listening, going to his rehearsals and listening to jazz, mainly jazz. So I was just a weird kid who didn't listen to rock until he was in like high school.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty embarrassing, honestly. But it worked out, you know, like good background.
Yeah. Trumpet was always the instrument you went for?
No, I was a guitar player.
Oh, is that right? How did you switch to trumpet?
I never wanted to play trumpet. That was kind of like I got to fifth grade, and it's like, oh, it's time to for, you know, wind band starts in school. So my dad wants me to do that. I played guitar since I was like 7. So I pick up the trumpet, like, whatever, it's fine. And then I got to high school, I'm like, okay, I can play guitar in the jazz band. Like, no, well, no, we want you to play trumpet, like, because you can, like, improvise. Like, okay. And then I, like, kept doing that. Like, other things, I got scholarships to colleges to do that. No one wants a guitar player. Guitar players are a dime a dozen. So, like, you don't need to give guitar players money to go to a school. Yeah. To get money for trumpet. It's like, okay, cool, I'll do that. And then, you know, it just kind of kept happening.
I love the fact that you said guitar players are a dime a dozen. There's not a guitar player in the room. That's what I'm saying. Like, in the band, there's
no. He keeps asking me. He said, if you need a guitar player, bring a guitar player.
Yeah, I know.
Man, you're still trying to play guitar.
I know, I am.
For scholarships.
This hurts. It's painful, man.
Just give it up.
Shoving metal in my face, you know?
And here he is. He just settled on trumpet for me.
Oh, yeah, man. You know? Okay.
You get a good gig. You got
to go back. Yeah. All right. Ron, what about you?
Man, I started playing trombone when I was 8. I had older brothers who were, they were in band. And I really always wanted to do what they did. So my dad had a trombone in the closet. He played at church, you know, semi-professionally, not too much. But I picked it up and started there. Yeah. My parents listened to some decent music, I guess. My mom loves Celine Dion. My dad loves Styx.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get into that.
Yeah.
It took my band director when I was in high school. He told me, here's an album of Kind of Blue, and here's an album of J.J. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And it started from there.
That's it, right?
Right?
Yeah, and that'll change you, man.
You know, and I got into Fred Wesley and the JBs.
And you haven't looked back?
Nope.
Right on. Okay, Jim, what about you, man?
Yeah, I come from a not especially musical family, but I can pretty definitively say that I can trace my love for the saxophone back to Lisa Simpson on The Simpsons.
Good for you, man.
So I started, So I started playing when
is
I was.
Is it Bleeding Gums Murphy? Is that
exactly?
Yeah, that's the man. That's the man. Yeah.
So when I was like 9 or 10, I joined the band, and I think I can say I can speak for everyone here that we've all had a lot of phenomenal teachers along the way that have pushed us in the direction, and here we are, kind of.
I love that story, man. And for anybody who's listening right now and who thinks that, you know, the Simpsons don't matter to people. Lisa Simpson, man.
For real, man.
Here's the thing I love about Lisa Simpson. Lisa's one of my favorite characters on the show.
Uh-huh.
I think she's my favorite Simpson of all the Simpsons. Yeah. She's my favorite Simpson. But the two things I love most about her, one, she plays the sax. Mm-hmm. And two, she laughs at Itchy and Scratchy. Because she's real smart. Yeah. She's very kind of snippy and smart, but she still laughs her ass off at Itchy and Scratchy. And I think that's very cool. Okay, let's go. Who's next here?
All right, I'm Hayden again.
Hayden, sexy Hayden is here.
Oh, it's
Quiet Storm Hayden.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah.
I started playing music at a really young age of maybe 2 or 3. I started plunking on the piano, and my parents noticed that, like, oh, he's actually playing songs that he's heard or something. You know, my parents were
playing
both
notes.
Musicians,
yeah.
So they knew, you know. I got to, like, sit in at rehearsals. My mom's a French horn player, so, like, she used to play for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Nice!
Oh.
Wow.
So maybe that's right? Am I right? I think that's right.
What are you looking at him for?
So then I started taking piano more seriously at the age of 4, and they got me like real lessons.
Does anybody take anything seriously at the age of 4? Except for like nose picking? That's amazing, man.
I liked it. So it was basically like classical music, and it all just kind of made sense back then.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm learning all types of things about this band today.
That's what happens when you come on this show, man.
I guess so.
I'm telling you.
I like other music, too, and then it's all fun games. And
yeah, so. All right. Hey, Dan, what was it that we learned about... we've had other bands in here, and I asked them questions, and then like somebody said that their first album or their first concert was something, and everybody in the band went, "What?" They couldn't believe it.
Was it Ace of Base?
No, it wasn't Ace of Base. Why does Ace of Base keep coming up?
They're awesome.
Because they're awesome. Esmeralda's laughing too in the newsroom because she loves Ace of Base, and she's not even Swedish. Okay. all right, man. So what about you, Nathan? How did you get into music?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of like folk Americana kind of stuff. My dad has played guitar since I was little, and just kind of a hobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
But I really started playing drum set. Like I picked percussion, you know, 4th, 5th grade or whatever.
Yeah,
and. I mean, I started playing drum set more frequently, like, at a church, a Lutheran church, actually. So, like, it wasn't very exciting.
I went to a Lutheran high school. It isn't very exciting.
But, like, fortunately, the other musicians were great. Like, excellent bass player, excellent keyboard player, singer, kind of, like, you know, jazz funk sensibilities. And it was kind of like, you know, it was great to... get to play with some of those people when I was younger.
At a young age, sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, fortunately, kind of like Jim was saying, just like good directors in high school,
mm-hmm.
middle school and high school kind of just kept me on that path and just kept playing drums.
And we're all here now.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you guys will play a song, and then we'll talk some more. You guys good? Cool? All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to hear some live music from Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. All right, we're back, and we're live in studio. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. That's the band. They're playing this Friday at the Metro. We'll give you all the information. We have it on our Facebook page. You can get tickets and everything, facebook.com/NickDShow. The show starts at 8. It's 18 or over, and we are about to hear a song live in studio by Mike Zabrin's Funktastic, and it's a song called What's the Deal? Mike, take it away, guys.
1, 2, 3, and... We'll be right back.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. Ron Jim Connor. Nice job, guys. Nice job. Boy, you guys were going. That was good. That was real good. Hey, you guys are staying with me after three. I don't care what you say. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with the band and hear some more live music right here on 720 WGN. This stuff is great, man. Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios. And that is from Mike Zabrin's Funktastic CD. And Mike and the rest of the band are here. And we've got Unique. We got Mike. We got Nathan, Hayden, Connor, Jim, Ron, and Marissa. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
That was phenomenal, you guys. That was really, really great. Great stuff. Mike, how'd you get these guys together? How did you put this band together?
It took a while, man. And, yeah. And I say that because it's like, you know, there are tons of great musicians in Chicago, but to be able to find the right musicians took a while, man. And this is really the first time where I could step back and be like, everybody is so great at what they do, not only alone, but with me, you know?
Yeah.
And make the music sound great, you know? And so it took a while to find the right
people. You had a specific vision for the kind of music you wanted to play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of happened the more I kept writing songs and going in the studio and recording a song here, recording a song there.
Mm-hmm.
The vision started coming together. And there are so many musicians on the album where it's like, I have to find the right musicians that could tackle, you know,
when you play
all
it live.
Of this music.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit before we, you know, get back and talk to everybody. Let's talk a little bit about this record. You have some unbelievable musicians on this record, man. Tell everybody about some of the people that appear on this record.
I have a lot of great musicians in Chicago on it. Sam Trump and Sarah Marie Young and so many great people in Chicago. But outside of that, we have Norwood Fisher from Fishbone.
God bless you. I was just telling my you know, when I found out you guys were coming in.
Yeah.
We were talking about it, and I looked at that, and I was like, dude, is somebody from Fishbone played on this record? And I was like, damn. And then I told the story about how my friends and I went to go see Fishbone. I've seen Fishbone like 20 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Fishbone. And so we go see Fishbone, and lead singer jumps out into the audience, okay? Wearing like, you know, no shirt, you know, he's nuts, and he's wet suspenders and his pants are bouncing up and down and his deal is hanging out and he's just jumping around, and he jumps into the audience and he stage dives and everybody's carrying him back. And this was at the Vic Theater, carrying him back. They get to my friend and I, and we'd been had a couple. He get to my friend and I, and we dropped him on his ass. He went right through the table. Busted right through the table.
I guess that's what I aspire to.
Is that what you want to do? You want to stage dive and then get dropped on your butt? Yeah. But he was cool about it. He's like, yeah! And he got up and ran off because he's insane. But so you got Fishbone. Who else?
Yeah. And Norwood Fisher was really cool and brought me to his rehearsal to sit in with him later that day.
That's awesome, man.
And Kendra Foster, who won a Grammy last night for what she did with D'Angelo.
Yep.
She co-wrote the album with him. And,
that's amazing, man.
And we actually tracked her. She was on tour with Parma Funkadelic, and we tracked her in this small makeshift studio in Hollywood, some guy's basement, and then we raced her all the way to soundcheck with the Parliament Funkadelic concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. You know, I don't know if you guys, we were talking about the Grammys, some people didn't see it. Marissa, you did, right?
I did.
Okay. So did you see when Uptown Funk won and Ronson's the mm-hmm. first person he thanked?
Yeah.
Was George Clinton. I was like, that's right, man. You better give it up. If you've got the word funk in anything, you better give it up to George Clinton.
And then we didn't even recognize him because he had cut all his hair off.
He did. He didn't look.
I was like, well, who is that man?
Yeah, he didn't look crazy. I was like, he looks like a normal human being.
Exactly.
And he didn't have like a yarn a different color on top of his head.
He had a regular hat on, like a regular person.
Yeah, he looked like a normal person. So that's pretty cool.
He leaves that to the baby, or to the, you know, the guy in the diaper. You know?
Yeah. That's another band. We were always, every time we mention like Earth, Wind & Fire, and Earth, Wind & Fire gets mentioned essentially every Friday on this show. Last week the week before when Maurice White died, the entire Fly Jams Friday was dedicated to all. So we did a bigger tribute on my show than the Grammys did. We were talking about how every time we mention Earth, Wind & Fire, I've seen Earth, Wind & Fire a bunch of times, and every time there seemed to be more people on stage at every show. At one point, I thought there were like 16,000 people
on
stage.
Sounds like my band.
And it's like, yeah, I know. I'm looking around, man, but that's you got to do that, though. You get a bunch of cool people, man.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, before we get to talking to each one of you guys again, 773 area, we get text from people who are listening live, and I know we'll get more, you know, when podcasts come out, because our podcasts go up like immediately after the show, usually in the morning. And so you guys can hook it up on your Facebook pages and all that stuff, and everybody can hear the podcast. But we're getting already a lot of texts. 773 area code says, fan-funking-tastic! Exclamation point.
That's cute.
815 area code says, another night of fantastic funk music. And then John, who is a tenor player in Iowa City, says, nice mix, guys. Well, part of that was me. And I'm digging the tenor player.
There you go.
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Then it says, great solos all the way around. Everyone is slamming. Cool band. So there you go. People are loving the music. So anyway, did you audition these guys? What happened?
That's kind of a funny auditions. Story. I mean, it really kind of started with Ron Jacoby. He kind of built this whole band with me. I mean, from the beginning, and then we had people just coming in and out of the group and stuff. And one day I had a gig with this jazz saxophone player, and I noticed that the drummer and the keyboard player they were slamming all night long, and I was like, I don't want to be a jerk, but I need to look fantastic, you know. But that's really how it happened, and they've been playing with me ever since.
Yeah.
Let
me ask the musicians that are in here. I'm assuming that I've had a lot of, you know, like sort of jazz, you know, musicians in here, and they gig a lot. Do you guys play in a bunch of different bands? Because I know that the scene is really I've had a lot of different sort of funk and jazz bands.
City.
Yeah. No. That's absolutely. No, I understand. It's just that I know that I noticed. In fact, in what was it, Dan? It was a week apart. We had two bands in. We had one band in that came in, the dude set up his keyboards right where you are. Okay. And then the next week we had another band in, same guy came in with his keyboards, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, wait a minute, what? And it's like, yeah, I'm in like 17 different bands. So, but that's like a thing. I mean, the scene, you know, for funk and jazz and rock and stuff like that is pretty cool, right? Does anybody have thoughts on it? How many bands you guys are with? Anything?
I recently tallied it up to like 16 or something, which is it's too much, but, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And this city is great for that. I mean, what are some of you guys have favorite places that you've played? Some, you know, like rooms that you've played in?
Martyrs.
Martyrs?
Martyrs is great.
Martyrs is a great room, yeah.
Man, I go to Blues on Halsted all the time. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday they have a jam, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's a legendary place.
I mean, it's so homey. It makes you feel at home. It makes you want to play music. So.
You guys ever played Lincoln Hall?
Yeah.
That room.
That room's great.
That room is unbelievable. The acoustics in that room?
So good.
Good God. I mean, unbelievable.
I got to holler out to Double Door. I know they're going through some trouble right now, I love that room, and I hope it sticks around.
I do too.
It'll be a real loss. Yeah.
So many great bands played that place, man. It's a fantastic place to see a show and to play, I would imagine.
I mean, the Stones played there, man.
Yes, they
just,
did.
Like, want to get rid of that?
Yeah, the Stones played there, and I was standing outside of the Double Door because I couldn't get in, but I heard it.
That's right.
All that matters.
I was out, my friends and I were out on Milwaukee just going, yeah, all right, that's cool. That's Jumpin' Jack Flash. So
that's the thing, man, is that all these guys, they play with so many great musicians that, you know, it just builds a really close-knit kind of scene in Chicago, man, you know, and it's like everybody is kind of connected to everybody, you know, and
that's one of the things I discover anytime I have musicians in here. I mean, one of the great joys of having guys like you in is that I learn more about what's happening in the music scene in Chicago and how great it is. You know, like every time I have a band in here, I'm like, wow. I mean, if you're a musician and you're young in this city, it's a pretty cool thing, you know, and you can get paid too, you know, to do it, which is, you know, part of the fun. Absolutely. So you guys are playing at the Metro on Friday, and some of you guys have played the Metro before. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think some of these guys
two
have.
Weekends ago.
Just 2 weekends ago you played the Metro? Yeah, it's a great, it's a very, very cool room.
Yeah, we had a blast. It was amazing.
It's a, it's an 18 or over show, and it's this Friday at the Metro, and our, you guys are playing as part of a bigger lineup. In fact, one of the bands that you guys are playing with has been here, and that's the Brothers Star Race have been here. But Becca's not with the band anymore, I found out.
Okay.
Yeah, Becca Brown, who was in School Days. School Days.
School Days, yeah. No. It's a good one, too.
School of Rock. School Days is a great movie. Yep. Absolutely. There's a lot of fly jams in School Days.
Oh, yeah.
I just watched that movie 2 days ago. I'm not kidding you. That I Don't Want to Be Alone Tonight, one of my favorite.
Yeah,
that is, that song is unbelievable. But anyway, Becca Brown played bass in School of Rock, and she used to be with this band, but they're not. She's not with them anymore. But who else is playing? You got the Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club.
Mm-hmm. I know Ethan Butler is open up for us.
Ethan Butler, yeah. And Trick Shooter Social Club. A lot of clubs. Now, how many are you guys in any of these bands?
I'm not even a member. So.
No, yeah, I was going to say, are you guys doing any of you guys doing double duty that night? Yeah. No. All right, cool. So it's an 18 or over show. That's very, very cool. All right, well, let me go around and ask I have like two basic questions that I always ask musicians and people when they come in, and I'm just going to go around the room. You can tell me the story about it and everything. So we'll start with you, Mike. First album you ever bought, like, you know, like with your allowance or whatever, first album you ever bought, Mike?
We were talking about it outside, but there's actually one before.
And by the way, I don't want anybody skirting the question, because I know a lot of that, you know, like the first album you ever buy, you go, oh, crap, man, it's NSYNC. You know what I mean? That's cool. And, you know, and I think I had a feeling that's where we're going with you, Mike.
But, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll be straight up with you guys. I mean, the Bee Gees, I mean, I
went please.
Out, bought their record. I mean, it's like a, you know, in, sixth grade, I think.
Was it Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I can't remember how many Bee Gees are there. Are there four?
Well, there's four. Well, there's only two left.
Well,
now,
there were four. I wanted to be the fifth one.
Yeah.
When I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, I had all
You know what's
their
amazing?
Songs.
Now, I'm assuming that since, you know, you started with like sort of the disco, sort of funky Bee Gees stuff, did you go back and listen to the early stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's insanely different.
Now that I go back and listen to it, their arrangements, I mean,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. The melodies, the vocals, and a lot of their stuff is really depressing. Like, if you go back and listen to early Bee Gees, it's like, God, I can't believe these guys didn't hang themselves. So, all right. So, Bee Gees, first record.
Yep.
Okay. Unique, what about you?
I actually bought two at the same time.
Now, you had to listen to gospel.
Yeah.
So, growing up.
So, yes, I only could listen to gospel. So I snuck to the store, and I think I bought, like, Mariah Carey and Eazy-E.
Eazy-E.
Whoa, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you could. I didn't know it was legal to buy those two records at the same time.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Wow, Mariah Carey and Eazy-E.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You
got caught?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Wait a minute. You got caught with an Eazy-E record?
Yes. And it was the unedited version. Like,
oh.
Wait, so you
I
go.
Can't say it on there.
No, you can't say it on there. You go from gospel to Eazy-E?
That's what happens when you make your children only listen to gospel.
That's right, man. Oh, man. That's amazing. That's pretty amazing. Okay. And Marissa?
My first album, I worked hard for this money as well. Because, anyway. I wanted to hear Butterfly. And I just literally wanted Michael Jackson's Butterfly. I didn't want anything else. And I went to five different stores, and everyone was like, we don't sell singles anymore. And I was like, what do you mean? I just bought a single. My daddy just bought me Pony. Why did they buy me Pony? The cassette tape? I don't know. Because I was real young. I shouldn't even sing them.
Right.
So I ended up buying Michael Jackson's Butterfly as my first record.
Now, was it like a single?
It was not a single because they didn't sell those.
They didn't
anymore.
Sell those.
I had to buy the exact CD, all of it. But then I was excited because I liked the whole.
Because you liked it, okay.
But it was
all right.
Michael Jackson, though.
Sure. All right, Michael Jackson. We got Michael Jackson. I love the Eazy-E, man. And we got the Bee Gees. Hold on, guys. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the rest of you guys, and then we'll hear a song as well. We got to take a break here on 720 WGN. More from Mike Zabrin's Funktastic playing at the Metro this Friday. Yeah. Welcome back. We're getting all funky this morning here. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Mike Zabrin's Funktastic is the band. They are playing at the Metro this Friday night. You can check out MikeZabrin.com. That's Z-A-B-R-I-N, MikeZabrin.com. They're on Facebook, and we have a link on our Facebook page to all of it, and it's really easy to do. Just go to Facebook.com/NickDShow. And we are joined by everybody. And we were in the middle of asking everybody what their first album was that they had purchased. Connor, we're up to you, my friend.
It's hard for me to remember, but the first memory I have of buying an album is going to some now defunct, you know, when they used to have like CD stores, like not record stores, but like, you know, CD stores in the mall. And I had a gift card or something. I wanted to buy like the one, they had like one toy in there. So I wanted to buy that rather than the music. My dad's like, no, come on. Like, so just
get some music.
So my first record was John Pizzarelli's Kisses in the Rain, Romantic. Weird. But, you know, actually a good album. And he's a guitar player and singer.
Yeah.
I ended up listening to him a lot.
Right.
Not a big fan anymore. Formatively, there's good
Ron,
stuff.
What about you, man?
Believe it or not, with this purchase of an album came a portable disc player.
What?
Portable tape player.
Yeah.
Two sides, you got to flip it over. But it was Weird Al Yankovic's food album. So I'm not even embarrassed.
No, you're not embarrassed. No, you should wear that as a proud.
Right. But one thing I do want to say, my first time at the Jazz Record Mart, I can speak for I can't tell you how many people, but that experience alone, buying my first album there, was incredible. God, so
the place just closed, man.
It's sad.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that after you guys after you guys take off. We're going to talk about the Jazz Record Mart and then talk about places like that that don't exist anymore.
They don't.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's bum everybody out. Okay. Jim, what do you got? What was your first album?
Well, man, it's a tough question to answer because I grew up with Napster, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like I downloaded tons of music, and it's almost hard to remember the first album I actually bought with my own money.
Yeah.
But the first I can think of is probably John Zorn's Naked City.
Yes, okay.
In high school, and that kind of just totally, honestly, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Like, it changed the way I thought about saxophone, about music, everything. Just totally weird, crazy music that has no, you know, no rules, no boundaries, basically.
That explains so much about you, Jim. So
okay.
much.
Okay. Hayden, what about you, man? First album.
The first album I can remember purchasing was probably Linkin Park's Meteora. I don't know. I thought it was awesome.
Okay. No, there you go. All right,
no
man.
Story, that's what I got.
Hayden, what about you, man?
Man, I have some strange feeling that, like, what motivated me to actually buy my first record was, like,
a girl.
No, probably just like I'm thinking it was something, I can't remember exactly what record it is, but I bet it was like Limp Bizkit's first record.
Wow, so you guys are buddies.
Like
we got Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit over here.
Buying the censored version of the record, you know, because like that's
okay.
all I could buy.
All right, let's go, we do this a little bit quickly because we got a break for the news, but first concert that you remember seeing?
Aerosmith. That was my first concert. It was at the United Center.
All right.
Lenny Kravitz was opening.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Good for you, man. Okay, you need.
I was not allowed to go to any concerts.
And that was punishment for buying the Eazy-E?
Yes. But the first concert, as an adult, I got to open for Busta Rhymes.
What? So
that was the very first concert experience that I had.
Good for you.
It was life-changing.
That's amazing. Okay, next.
My first concert was Little Bow Wow's first Scream tour.
And he was still little.
Oh, no, like little. Like,
okay.
I almost had a heart attack because he almost touched me. And it was like B2K. No one knew who they were. They opened, and the rapper Lil Zane was there, and I literally tripped him to try to make him fall on me. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Next, Connor. Who was your first concert?
I don't know. Some jazz guy at the showcase. I couldn't tell you. It was probably before I could even remember it.
Like, okay. Next.
I don't know. Probably something at church I did growing up. It was very Christian that I was not interested in.
Okay. So. All right. Jim?
I'm going to say Rolling Stones at the United Center.
Good for you, man. There's something right there,
Paul McCartney at the United Center.
Oh, please. Wow. All right.
My first show was John Mayer opening up for Counting Crows.
Wow. Oh!
Better than Lil Bow Wow.
All All right. Well, we're gonna. Dan is stunned.
We have a very eclectic range of musical.
Yeah, there's no question about it. All over the map, man. All right. Hold on. We got a break. We got the news coming up, and then we come back. You guys will play another song. Cool. All right, everybody. Hang on a little bit. All right, we're listening. We got this is the band Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. More coming up after the news.
Esmeralda Leon on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thanks, Esmeralda. How are you doing in there? Are you getting funky? Are you Esmeralda the Heartmelda this morning?
I am. Those are some jams.
Yeah. All right.
And good answers, by the way, for your.
Oh yeah, for the. Did I ever ask you what your? Yeah, we talked about this, right?
Right. Yeah, mine are embarrassing as well.
Yeah. What was, remind everybody, first concert?
All for One.
All for One, that's right.
Yeah, that hideous boy band. And then first CD was, had to be, I think it was like a single of LaBouche.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Be My Lover.
Be My Lover,
yep.
LaBouche.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. And now you're Esmeralda the Heartmelda.
Yes, I've learned.
You've learned. All right, cool. Well, we're talking about funky music because Mike Zabrin's Funktastic is here. They're performing Friday at the Metro. I suggest you check it out. And it's an 18 and over show. It begins at 8 o'clock on Friday night. We've got a link on our Facebook page to all the information. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. And here's the deal. We got two pairs of tickets to give away for the show. Thank you, Mike, for that. I appreciate that. So if you guys want to come and check it out, be caller 6 and 7. You'll each get a pair of tickets. Callers 6 and 7. You can call the regular line at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. It's this Friday night at the Metro. The show starts at 8, and you will be put on a list. So if you want a pair of tickets, call right now. Callers 6 and callers 7 will each get a pair of tickets. 312-981-7200 for the show this Friday night. So call in now and callers 6 and 7. You will get each a pair of tickets to the show. Okay, and this song, one more time, is called?
Only.
Okay, so we're going to hear another song from Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. It's called Only. Take it away, guys.
It only takes one change of heart to say I love you, I'm sorry, I trust you. It only takes one look in the mirror to see the pride that's stopping you from saying I'm sorry. So what's it really worth? You are only hurting yourself. We are only hurting the love that we've made. Take forgiveness off the shelf. It's better for your health. Only you can make a heart whole again. So call on me when you feel down and lonely, I'll clear away the pain with love. Only, only. Thank you.
Oh, man, you can sing.
Thank you.
I am in love with you.
Yes.
I have fallen in love with you.
Aww.
Oh, my God, that was so good. That was so good. Oh,
glad you enjoyed.
God almighty. Man, do you write all the songs?
I do, but a lot of it is collaboration, too. That song in particular I wrote with Sarah Marie Young.
Mm-hmm.
She's a jazz vocalist in Chicago. But it kind of all depends. I mean, sometimes I'll write the whole song. Sometimes I'll write the chords and collaborate with somebody on the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing more and more stuff where all of us have just been
jamming and come out with some stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I mean, that's what kind of makes it fun for me is just having it, having people have a voice,
yeah.
You know, and input their ideas and stuff.
Now,
like
how
that.
Do you work, Ron? We were talking a little bit earlier, Ron. You've helped form this band and stuff. Wait, let me hold on.
I used to work on cruise ships on and off, and once I finally got to Chicago, Mike called me up and he was like, "Hey, man, I want you in my band. I got some studio work. You know, come in, give me your ideas." And the first time I came in, there was I forget who the saxophone and trumpet player were. They were just some guys like filling in. It wasn't really, like Mike said at the beginning, nothing was really cohesive yet.
Yeah.
We're kind of bringing parts together. But that one time in the studio, the first time with Mike, a couple hours, and out came Funkin' With You.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it all started. So.
Well, it's great stuff, man. Yep. I mean, seriously, thanks, really, you guys, it's great. You guys are great musicians, and you guys can sing beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Man, oh, man. Okay. By the way, we want to thank, we want to congratulate Ben and Oswaldi Doe. What's her name? Oswaldo. Oh, okay. Oswaldo and Ben are our winners. They're coming to see your show.
Awesome.
You guys are gonna be great. And I'm looking forward to the next time you guys come back, because there's gonna be a next time.
Yeah.
You guys
can't
are
wait, man.
So you guys thank are seriously you. One of my favorite bands that I've ever had in here.
Awesome.
Yeah, really, really, really good stuff. So what's next? Are you recording anything? Are you writing stuff?
We're about halfway through the next album.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording stuff on and off, and just playing live as much as we can.
Do you guys like the, you know, just in general, to speak it out, do you guys like the recording process? Because I know, like, playing live, especially this kind of music, you guys can riff and go, if you want to go a little bit more, you can. Do you guys like the recording process?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's your favorite?
Well, I'm not saying we're favorite, but recording is just great. It's mm-hmm. great to be in that the process of getting your
it's
ideas.
It's an excellent learning experience. You learn a lot when you're recording songs, even songs that you've played a lot live.
Well, here's what
to play and then listen back in high fidelity and be like, wow.
What I love about these guys is that they use the CD as a platform, and then they branch out from there. So, you know, the live show is different than the record.
Of course.
Which you want it to be, you know? And it took a long time to find musicians like that who will, again, put their voice into the music, you know? So.
Yeah, well, you guys clearly work insanely well together. And you guys picked a couple of really great songs to play, too, to showcase.
Awesome.
Because you got to showcase the band itself, the horns, and then you got to showcase, like, the vocals and this, you know, oh, man. That's, you know who should have introduced that song?
Hayden.
Yeah. Come on, like, Hayden, do it one more time, man.
Hold on. I'm going to give you some reverb. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes.
Hold on a second. We got to get some reverb. So give us a little message, Hayden.
That was
wait
only...
a second. Hold on. My mistake. Hang on. All right. Hold on. We'll do this again. Do it.
That song you were just listening to was Only by Mike Zabrin's Funktastic. Hey.
Do that last part again.
Hey.
That was good, man.
That was great.
Yeah. You got a future as an overnight host, man.
Nice.
Of the Quiet Storm.
I'll do it.
That was great and sexy.
All right, you guys, really, it was great having you down here. It was just a blast. Mike, congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you.
I love what you do. I think it's great. You're welcome here any time you want to come down.
Thank you, man.
And just for no reason, just come down and play.
I will.
Thank you.
All right, you guys are great.